hired Dick Teague at for General Motors in 1946.
Right.
Go ahead.
Then when I went to Mexico, we were very good friends, and he stopped to see me in New Mexico and this and that and the other thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so then when I came back with Packard,
mm-hmm.
he never felt good. He was working for what's his name? That's running the Oldsmobile Studio, a Jewish.
Art Ross,
and Art Ross didn't click at all.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted to leave, and I think that's what he did. I hired him at Packard.
Mm-hmm.
So then I left Packard to go over to Ford. He stayed at Packard.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, he went over.
Excuse me, one question. Where was Bill Schmidt in relation to your tenure at Packard?
He hadn't come there yet.
Okay, good.
And, see, Bill Schmidt went to Packard sometime in 55 or 6.
Oh, I see. That late. Okay, good.
So, and I think Dick was still there at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, what am I going to say?
Well, Dick T came to see you.
Well, he came to see me out in New Mexico all the time.
Yeah, but I mean,
and we're still very good friends. Well, we're the best friends.
Yeah.
And so then. He did. He said, "Do you think I get along with?" I said, "Dick, you can get along with anybody if you want to, and you can get along with Anderson if you, you know, you. As I say, you've got that kind of a nature, but it could be hard on you."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I'll take the chance. So he went over and got along fairly well with, because Dick was a pretty good. He was a better designer than Anderson ever was.
Mm-hmm.
See, and. I don't even think Anderson was a good administrator. Well, at any rate, after time went on, they had designed a new series of cars, and they had hired, this was at American Motors,
okay.
They had hired a fellow from Tiffany's in New York to come down and advise him on interior appointments and on upholstery and all that stuff, which really bugged the hell out of Anderson.
What was his name?
Don't ask me. How would I know? I wasn't there.
Okay.
So they would bug hell out of it. And so they're having a big meeting with all the directors and Romney and everything. And as this meeting was going on, they were asking this guy from Tiffany things, and suddenly Ed blew his stack.
Ed Anderson?
Right. Mm-hmm. And acted like a perfect ass.
Mm-hmm.
Romney turned to him. Now this is terrible. He was wrong in doing what he did, but he turned to him and he said, "Ed," now Ed was a vice president,
mm-hmm.
"I will give you 1/2 hour to pick up your stuff and get out of the factory.
Mm.
You're fired."
Mm.
Now you
George
don't.
George Romney.
Yeah, I never liked George Romney in the hell. I doggone Mormon, you know what the hell.
Right.
And so anybody that can swallow that stuff has to be crazy or something. Anyhow, then Dick called me up and he said, "Hey, you know, I get a chance to be vice president." I said, "Sure you do." So he said, "Would you give me a good word?" So Romney called me up and he said, you think, he never asked me if I wanted the job or anything.
Yeah, right.
But I was already a Kaiser.
Mm-hmm.
I'd already gone out with Kaiser, so I naturally didn't want to leave. So, and he knew that. So I said, so Romney did call me. He said, "What do you think Dick will make?" I said, "Dick will make a fine vice president. He's a good administrator, and everybody loves Dick,
mm-hmm.
and Dick will work his tail off for you. And whether he's as good a designer as some of them, I don't know. He's a good designer."
Mm-hmm.
So he got the job, and Dick has never forgotten.
Yeah, you know, that's right. He recommended that I see you. He said you must talk.
Oh, Dick did?
He said you must talk to Frank.
When did you see Teague?
Oh, just before he left American Motors.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
He said that, huh?
Oh, he said you must interview Frank Murphy. Frank Hershey said he has the best career of all of us.
Well, I had a mixed career.
Diversity, yes, right. Mm-hmm. Why did you leave American Motors?
I never. No, Romney called me up and said we're going to give Anderson a chance.
Well, that was it. Okay.
Yeah,
and you couldn't abide that, huh?
No, it was going to give him a chance and not me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
No, I told him I wouldn't. If they made me vice president, I wouldn't retain Anderson.
Mm-hmm, right. And he had the years.
Because Anderson wouldn't go down and do what he was supposed to do, and that's be a good draftsman.
Mm-hmm.
He had had a taste of the other, and you can't turn a man back like that.
Right.
And Anderson is a very pushy guy, anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
He's pushed himself. He's passed himself off as something that he wasn't all those years.
Mm-hmm. Well, did Romney know this?
All of those guys were so uninformed about design and stuff like that, they didn't know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
All they had to do is look at their cars, what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you see, you take a company like that, they could take their cues from General Motors or Ford.
Right.
And not go off on the wrong kind of tangent. Well, the cars weren't that bad, but they weren't that good either.
Mm-hmm.
And as to their mechanical prowess, I don't know. They always built, the Nashville's built very good cars. When the Nash was there, they built some dumb cars too. But then, of course, I should get in and tell you my Kaiser experience with the automobile industry. But I don't. I think my throat's getting a little bit tired.
Let's rest a bit. Yeah. Let's take a break. Back to Ford briefly, Mr. Hershey, and. A little bit about your relationship with George Walker and why you clashed with him and why you left.
Well, I didn't outwardly clash with him.
Mm-hmm.
He used to get reports from his people. Now, he had two modelers in there,
mm-hmm.
two people that worked for him. He was paying them on the side
mm-hmm.
while Ford was paying them because mm-hmm. they were spies.
I see. Who were they, you remember?
Oh, I don't know. One tall guy, and he was always disrupting, always causing bad. And I finally went to, Jesus, what is this man's name that worked, was assistant to McPherson, German name, Grebe. I went
Henry
to Grebe,
Grebe.
Henry Grebe.
Right.
And I said, Henry, this is a situation. He's causing trouble, he doesn't work, he keeps interfering, he keeps holding things back. He said, I can't fire him. I said, why not? Because he's working for George Walker. I said, yeah, that's the whole thing. I said, and you can't fire him because he's disrupting the department, and so is the other one.
It wasn't Oros and Engel, was it? Those two?
No. We had Oros. He was so juvenile. We had Oros wrapped around our thumb,
okay.
And that's why Walker didn't like it because Walker,
okay.
Finally, he wasn't calling Walker and giving him the information. We always consulted him,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't pay attention to him, but we listened to him, and we finally, I took he and McGuire to Europe for 3 weeks. And
Bob McGuire Walker man?
He would kiss, you know what I mean,
yes.
for anybody that he thought he could get ahead on,
mm-hmm.
see?
Yeah.
When Walker came in, he was all over him and lathered him up and all this stuff because he knew his job depended on it. Well, I really never had any real clash with Walker.
Mm-hmm.
He was too smart for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't outwardly clash with him because I didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could butter him up and so on and so, but I didn't pay any attention to what he said. Because he never said anything was worthwhile. He didn't know what he was doing. And neither two, his two men were lousy designers.
Uh-huh, right.
I mean, Engel wasn't so bad, but Oris knew nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He was no good for anything.
Right. Were you still the chief of the Ford, the Advance or the Ford Studio at that time?
The whole thing, all the Ford, trucks and everything.
Ford Studio, right?
Yeah, Ford Studio.
Right.
And I did a good job for Ford, and they were foolish to let me go because I had 300 men, under me, and the only ones that weren't any good that I wanted to fire was that one man and one other, which I did fire because he was holding a job at Chrysler at the same time. He'd come in, I can't remember, he was a hell of a designer and
mm-hmm.
a hell of a sweet guy.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife came over one day and said, wanted to know if he was there. And I said, well, no, he's supposed to be here, but I thought he was homesick. She said, no, he went to work this morning. I said, where? She said, I don't know. So finally, somebody called me up from Chrysler, and they said, hey, he does, what the hell was his name? He was an awfully nice, sweet guy. He said, does he work for you? I said, yeah, where is he? He said, well, he's working here. So he finally, I called him over, and I said, you know, I said, you're out. But the rest of them were all good work. I had good rapport with everybody. I liked everybody, and they seemed to like me. Mm-hmm. And we always had a good time and worked our tails off. Mm-hmm. And even though this guy was trying to disrupt things, they all knew the score. Mm-hmm. And I'd get these modelers together, and I said, look, this guy, don't let him upset things like he's upsetting. I said, say, yeah, 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 and go on, do your work. I said, we don't want to have trouble, but I said, we can't let one bad apple ruin the whole bunch here. And so I had, they knew damn well that I was a good administrator and that I didn't need to fire anybody, and we got the work done in spite of all the people that were throwing barricades in our way.
Mm-hmm. Who do you remember from the Ford Division Studio that was really a good, dependable, and creative designer?
Well,
you mentioned David.
No, the best man was my assistant.
Who's that?
The guy that got killed, Damon Woods.
Damon Woods.
Oh, he was a sweetheart, mm-hmm. and he was good. When we weren't getting anywhere, we weren't getting anywhere fast enough on the 57 Ford. Mm-hmm. We were trying all kinds of things, wasn't working. So I told Damon, let's stay tonight and get rid of everybody. And you and I go out and rough out.
Yeah.
We went out there and we spent till 12 o'clock. See, I worked. Nice and
yes.
Saturdays, weekends. Right. And we roughed that whole 57 Ford out. And the next day they came perfected, and that was 57 Ford.
Mm.
And then, if you'll notice, the 58, the 59, the 60 were horrible things. That
yes.
Walker screwed up.
Yes.
I'd like to use another word, but I'll use screwed
yeah.
up.
Mm-hmm.
Really did. He and Oris did the whole thing. Screwed it all up.
Mm.
Nager was a good little worker.
Mm-hmm.
He was a pretty good designer. Dave Ash, we were good friends, but the best designer, of course, was Damon Woods. Yeah,
yes.
But they were all good.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had some young kids who were good drawers, who were beginning to come up. I can't remember. One of them came from New Mexico, who named the Thunderbird, incidentally.
Mm-hmm. Did we have a list?
I've got the list here somewhere.
Yes.
Of all the names.
Yes.
You ever see that list?
Mm-hmm.
And I, of course, being from New Mexico, loving New Mexico, I sort of pushed for that, but he came up with the idea, not me, he came up with the idea for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a hell of a good idea. It went over.
Mm-hmm.
And,
it all came to an end.
Then we had a couple of designers in the interior studio. Of course, McGuire ran that. He was, mm-hmm. and McGuire could really throw the bull around very good, and he always very nicely dressed, and you know, he talked very nicely and very convincingly, and I guess he was all right. He was pretty. Most of the design ideas for the instrument board we got out of the studio and told him what to do, and especially that one that we had the curved, you know, the speedometer and all that was my idea. I think Chrysler copied it afterwards or something. I don't know. Anyhow.
Maybe Engel took it with him.
He could have.
Yeah.
Well, it was sort of a natural.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a cliche, but it was natural.
For what model was that?
Well, I think it came out first on the. I don't remember whether we did it first on the Thunderbird, the first Thunderbird, or the first, or the 57 Ford. I don't remember, really. I'd have
mm-hmm.
to go back.
Yeah.
I'm sort of hazy on that.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a good relationship, and of course, when Reese Miller came, he was a hard worker, and I could depend on Reese. Reese and Damon Woods were the top guys as far as I was concerned.
And Damon, unfortunately, suffered a terrible, tragic accident.
Oh, I know, I know. But see, Damon and I and my wife were very good friends. As a matter of fact, we belonged to a little theater group. On campus over at Ann Arbor, and we went over there every night for 3 or 4 months, or every once a week to the theater there,
mm-hmm.
and that was a lot of fun, snow and ice and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So we were very close, and I liked Damon. He was really great, and his wife was a sweetheart. So I don't know. I know that when they decided that they were going to build the Edsel, they were looking for a designer. And there was a fellow that had been either with GM or Ford, I don't remember, and I think his name was Brown, I'm not sure.
Roy Brown.
And he had been with Distler Paint Company.
Oh, okay.
And they hired Roy Brown.
D-I-T-Z-L-E-R.
They had hired him. I don't know where they got him. Because
mm-hmm.
neither Bert and I would touch that. They tried to get us to go in on it. We wouldn't touch it because we didn't believe in it.
Who's that? Neither you or who?
Or Bordenay.
Neither
one of us would touch it.
Yeah, right.
So.
You're talking about the Edsel.
Yeah. So Crusoe was heading that up at the time. And he hired Brown, which is a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a young designer. And if you pick a young designer at that time to work up a new and distinctive model, he reverted to the narrow nose LaSalle, which everybody liked, but was passé at that time. So there's the quickest thing to do to get some quick recognition was to put a narrow radiator, which he did, made the toilet seat be gone. And we were called, Crusoe called us down and asked us what we thought, and we said, we think you're wrong. Well, help us out. I said, we got too much work of ours to do. I said, you've got a design staff down here, let them do it. So that was Crusoe's baby. See, he was already retired, but he was back. They brought him back out of retirement to handle it. They were very strong in those kind of executives.
Mm-hmm.
Then when they started, Bill Ford started on the
Mark II, Continental.
Continental Mark II.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Damon Woods, not Damon Woods, but that's where Reese Miller and Buzz Grissinger, they were working on the outside, and they offered suggestions. They made designs and offered suggestions to Ford.
They were
outside designers. They got a whole bunch of outside designers to give their idea of what it should be.
Right. Proposal.
Yeah. Well, now, at that time, we were all streamlined, gung-ho streamlined. And we felt that they were designing a classic car and not a modern car of that ilk, sophisticated kind of a car that the people of Beverly Hills and the movie stars would like,
mm-hmm.
sort of. But they felt that the Mark I or whatever.
First Lincoln Continental.
Lincoln Continental, which I never did like.
Mm-hmm.
The front end wasn't too bad, but it just, see, you have to, we were modernists at that time, and we felt that that was, but the bad part of it, the engine was so bad. It was such a god-awful car.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a Ford V8 with four more cylinders. They used the same piston, same Conrad, same everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a lousy automobile. I don't know why they ever did it. That Ford engine, it took about 3 years to get it into good running order anyhow. But then that car, it just wasn't big enough engine. It just run itself to death. That was a big automobile.
Mm-hmm.
They needed a big engine for that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they finally made a big engine, and they made it nice, and the car just didn't. It didn't catch on. It just didn't have what it should have. And you take Cadillac at that time, came out with some of these wild cars, with the polished aluminum tops. Those were beautiful cars, and they personified the era, I think, much more than the. That Continental didn't sell. That Mark II didn't sell worth a damn.
Mm-hmm.
I like the ones they built much later, the ones that had the sort of the Rolls Royce kind of radiator.
Mark III's, Mark IVs.
By the big ones, I thought those were pretty good looking cars, but Mac hated them. I don't know why, but I sort of liked them.
Which Mac?
Mac Min.
Okay.
Mac, he's the only Mac I know. Anyhow, he sort of hated them.
You called McNamara Mac at one time. I thought maybe he didn't like.
Well, him. Yeah, but.
But he's long gone by then. Yeah.
I wasn't there. See, I met McMinn in Boy Scout camp. In Catalina Island.
Yes.
In 1922 or 3.
Mm-hmm.
And
you kept contact all those years?
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Well, he used to come up and, you know, and bother me at Murphy's all the time.
Yeah, you told me.
And then I remember I came out, I think it was 19, it was, 1936. And his stuff had been lousy before that. And, you know, I didn't really give him much hope. But somehow, when I saw the stuff in 36, I recognized something there. And so when I went home after that vacation, I told Harley Earl, there's a young guy in Pasadena that's awfully, is coming along. He said, for God's sakes, hire him. So we hired him. He came back, lived at my mother-in-law's, and we lied about his age because he wasn't even 18 yet. He was only 17. So he did lie about his age. Well, how old is Mac? Early 70s. He wasn't that far behind me. So why did we have to lie about his age?
He wasn't 21.
Oh, he wasn't 21. Well, he wasn't 18.
Yeah.
He had to be 18. Yeah. There's something, I gotta clarify that. There's something, because I know we lied about his age. Anyhow, Mac.
Well, Roy Brown has designed the Edsel. Bill Ford is doing the.
Well, Roy Brown.
Mark II.
Roy Brown, and yeah, along with whoever. Mastermind that designed the Edsel, yes.
Right.
When they asked us down to give our okay on the final deal, Bord and I said, well, it's a nice car, but that's all as far as we're concerned. But then when Bill Ford made the Mark II, and he showed the design, they were called in, and we told him outright we thought it was the wrong design for the car. But they didn't pay any attention to Bordenay and myself. They went ahead and did it anyhow, and it just didn't click.
Uh-huh.
It just didn't click. It somehow, it just didn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that bad, but it was, the proportions weren't right, the styling wasn't that good. Mm-hmm. It just didn't have the moxie.
Is that a John Reinhardt, the creation, the style? Harley
Cup. I don't remember who was in the studio. Harley Cup might have been, but I think, what's it, Najjar? I think Najjar was working on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he was. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even sure whether, oh shit, what's his name? the little funny little guy.
Tremulous.
Tremendous. We used to call him Tremendous.
Tremendous.
I don't know whether it had anything to do with it or not. According to Tremendous, he had everything to do with everything. But
yes.
Buehrig
was in on the body engineering.
Huh?
Buehrig was in on the body engineering.
He was on the body engineering, yeah.
Kopp was the chief engineer.
Yeah.
Reinhardt was the designer.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. He was. Yeah, he was. But I think Najjar was with him.
Yeah, he was helping out.
Too. Yeah.
So you saw the two potential white elephants there, and you advised
them. Right, too.
And you advised them on, and they didn't listen to you.
Well, now, but let me give you a little insight on that. That was nothing but a bastardized Mercury.
What was it?
The Edsel.
Okay.
Same chassis.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I had up in San Francisco on the peninsula. A man who had a big boat next to mine, we became very good friends, and he was a Ford dealer on the peninsula. Now, that is as high a society area that you can find. It's equal to Beverly Hills. Gorgeous home.
San Mateo?
San Mateo, Burlingame.
Yeah, so. Right.
And he had this Ford agency, which was left to him by his father. And he was told by the Ford company he had to take on the Edsel.
Mm-hmm. Or else.
And he took on the Edsel. He had to rebuild every Edsel that he got in to to the tune of thousands of dollars. And finally, he called up Ford and he said, I'm putting all these goddamn things out in the alley. I don't give a damn when you come with it. You come and take them away. I don't want them. And you can have your goddamn Ford. Well, he was such a good dealer. They just kept the mouth shut and came and took them away. And that was it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what that had, how much that had to do. Ford has built some awful bad cars, and I don't know.
Well, it didn't sell.
No, it didn't sell, but it didn't sell for a number of reasons. It was a lousy automobile.
Right, yeah.
And it became a sort of a laughing stock in a way. They call it the old toilet seat. The way it
is. The main reason they canned it is because it didn't sell, right?
Well, there was no place for it.
Yeah.
There was no place for it. There was a Ford, Mercury, Lincoln. That's all you needed.
Right.
That's all General Motors really needs.
Mm-hmm.
But GM has done it for so long, and so on and so forth, and they have such big... So because it, I mean, there's very little difference between Buick Oldsmobile and the 6000 Pontiac. Very little difference between the Cadillac and all of those. But, so... It's just that... I think the industry is fighting the Japanese. All the Japanese have so damn many cars that they feel that we have to too.
Yeah.
Because the Japanese keep bringing out car after car after car, and they're all darn good automobiles. So, you can think of anything else that I've forgotten?
Well,
I'll probably think of a lot of things after you leave.
Well, American Motors didn't turn out to be your cup of tea. Largely because they retained Ed Anderson as the vice president. Did they say to you, Frank, let's give Adam a year, and then if he doesn't make it...
They intimated that.
If he doesn't make it, you can take over.
They intimated.
Yeah.
They intimated, but they didn't say it.
They didn't say it.
Yeah.
Would you state if they put that in writing?
Possibly.
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, possibly.
Right. Did George Romney intimate that might happen?
Yeah, well, Romney was sort of a very nice guy in a way, but he was sort of, I felt he really didn't know what he was doing, because he seemed to be rather confused as to what to do. And anybody that had any insight on a designer or person wouldn't have kept Anderson that long anyhow, because Anderson obviously didn't know what the hell he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
He was a draftsman. He was not a designer.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have it. And you know, you can be a draftsman and have the ability to be a designer and come work into it. But he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
He never had it.
Uh-huh.
They put him in charge of the Oldsmobile because of necessity at one time, and he ran that for a while. But he had some good men in there. Mm-hmm. But Ed Anderson was a. He was a very volatile kind of person. And I know that he bought a farm about 10 miles north of me, and so we rode together.
In Rochester?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
North of Rochester.
Yeah.
And he would pick me up, and he had a big Oldsmobile convertible, and he'd pick me up. And I remember one day we'd get down what they call it, 5th and 6th, cross streets.
Grand River?
No, the cross Woodward, out by the Ford plant, there was 6th, not 6th Avenue, they called it something else. There was 6th Avenue out there and so on. Don't you know?
No. 6th Avenue?
Well,
are you going south on what?
No, you're going, say you go north, say you go north on 2nd.
Second to go where?
Well, maybe it was something else. Anyhow, we were going down there by the Ford plant.
Which Ford plant?
The old Ford. The old Ford plant.
Island Park.
On Woodward.
You're on Woodward, okay, yeah.
And some guy wasn't going as fast as he thought he should, so Ed just ups and he pushes him 2 blocks away. And this guy was putting on his brakes and waving his hands and doing everything to stop and burning his tires out. And finally, Ed just pushed him over the curb and went on and thumbed his nose and went around him.
Hmm.
Well, that was one thing. Then we were coming up on in front of the Chrysler plant one day. And I don't know, somebody did something walking with him, and Ed just jumped the curb and pushed the guy right up against the door, front door of this building and impaled him there. Then the guy nearly had a heart attack, so Ed just pulled away and thumbed his nose and went on. Well, that, I, after that, refused to ride with him anymore. Because that was, it was a terrific show of temper, and that could get you into trouble. So I don't know whether I ever displayed that, but I would think, you know, anybody that knew anything about human nature and was very astute would could recognize this in Ed Anderson. And they knew that Ed just didn't have the design ability. He just didn't have it.
But he had an in with some of the directors.
Yes, he did. And but they didn't know what was what either. So I guess when Dick went there, it was quite a revelation to him. But the Anderson, of course, I mean, Romney had left by that time. And I had since read about Romney's politics and what he, you know, he's going to run for president. I didn't like anything he stood for. I just didn't. I didn't.
George Romney and Ed Anderson in the dust and took off.
Well, and I was looking for other jobs.
Right.
And finally, I sent out about 50 letters, well-written letters that I had worked up with a, with one of these people who know how to write
professional
letters.
Professional.
And it fell into the hands of Ralph Knight at Kaiser.
Who was he?
He was head of some kind of a marketing deal. And he wrote me a letter and said that they wanted to start up an industrial design department. But he wasn't quite sure just what, why he was doing it. But he said, we'd like you to come and work for Kaiser.
What kind of shape was Kaiser in at this time?
Pretty
what
good.
Happened to them?
Pretty good.
They
hadn't even built the new building yet.
But they, were they still in the automobile business?
No.
No.
Well, yes, they were in the Jeep business.
Oh, yeah, okay, fine.
And so he hired me at a pretty good at a good salary. And he said, we'll pay to move your family out and everything, which he did. They put us up at the what's called hotel there till I found a house, which I found in a couple of days.
What city was this?
In Oakland.
Okay.
And
well, you're back out to California right now.
Well, sure, that's
where
the place
you are. Kaiser headquarters.
Yeah. So I went to work for them, and one first thing designed was they had a new kind of a metal that looked like gold, very beautiful, and we designed an ashtray for that, the giveaway item for Kaiser. And then we went on to, then I got the idea that a lot of Kaiser customers were way behind in design. And I went to Ralph Knight and I said, look, I think my business here would be to go out and help a lot of our customers upgrade their design. Whatever they make. We make all kinds of things from little camper trailers and all that stuff. And and I said that then we get them started on the right road. And he said, well, I think that's a good idea. So they got together with the sales department to figure out. Then they talked to all the different salesmen all over the country, in New York, Chicago, and so on. And they had a big office in Chicago with a man whose name I can't remember now. We became very good friends. And he thought it was a great idea. I did a lot of work through him. And we designed displays and all kinds of stuff, and then we worked on the new aluminum shingles, and we did an awful lot of stuff for them. And what happened was, you get these one-man operations who had been successful in building a business. Let's take one of these little trailer businesses, which this is, or a boat business. Now we had a boat business down in Arkansas. I can't remember the name, Monticello, Arkansas. And the two guys that got out of the army, they liked fishing, so they made a fishing boat. And people liked it and wanted them, so they kept making boats bigger and bigger and bigger. And finally, they got into speedboats and little cruisers and so on. Mm-hmm. Well, they needed help. So in the meantime, we had designed, we made up a beautiful brochure of all kinds of boat designs to show how to stretch aluminum to get a good looking hull with some, and then we made up these beautiful brochures. You ever seen one of them for Kaiser? That we went back and showed them to Ford and General Motors and all those. We had big parties with them. We went on and put a big party, big feast, and then gave them these brochures to upgrade aluminum. So we built aluminum up from about 18 pounds to about 36 pounds per car.
This, of course, was the chief Kaiser product. Mm-hmm. Kaiser aluminum.
That's what we worked for.
Right.
And we did that all over the country. But I did mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd come back and work up designs, and I'd go take them back. And all the salesmen loved it, and they welcomed me with open arms everywhere I went.
Did a former associate of yours show up about this time?
You mean Reese?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I hired him a month after I got there.
Oh, okay, good, yeah.
And I had a nice little department of five people.
Reese Miller, yeah.
And a secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but one problem was they were so disorganized. They had a management consultants firm, a new one every year, to come in and straighten them out. And they always wanted to eliminate my department. Because they felt there was no tangible proof that we were making any money. And they couldn't understand, you know, the service. So they pecked at us.
Typical accountant mentality.
Pecked at us for 8 or 9 years, and finally bailed. They finally,
really?
They finally. But you see, the trouble was, there was no real loyalty between our customers, because the price of aluminum determined their loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they went down, Alcoa went down 2 cents above us, they'd buy Alcoa. If we went down 2 cents, they'd buy us. So you go in and do an awful lot of work for them, and you could not benefit. So that was a hard thing to fight. But it was, I at times, we did, that some of our customers, we did so much good work for them that they felt guilty about buying cheaper stuff, and they were loyal enough, but this was not the normal case. But we built some beautiful brochures. They cost us $18 a piece, and we built a whole bunch of them, gave them all the designers, and the designers kept them, all of them. I go back and they all had the art books underneath their desk. You should see them, they're beautiful.
You did some houseboat proposals too, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
Yes.
We did houseboats, then we did a houseboat on wheels, and so on and so forth. Where did you get that?
I looked at your scrapbook a little while ago. Describe in audio terms. Now, the people you were talking to cannot see these photographs, so you have to be a bit creative in order to describe the activities of the industrial design department at Kaiser Fraser, which you headed, Kaiser Fraser Aluminum, Kaiser Aluminum, and what kind of ideas you came up with.
All right. Now, to lure the mobile home industry, we built a way-out mobile home, which we showed at the mobile home shows.
Mm-hmm.
It was done, we decorated it, we spent $15,000 just on decorations alone.
Mm-hmm.
Beautifully done.
Very tasteful. Mm-hmm.
And it was...
Motor homes had been sort of a...
This wasn't a motor home.
Oh.
This was...
I mean a mobile home.
Well... This was a mobile home in the true. This is not a mobile home.
Right,
here.
But they call them that, Jeff.
Yeah, but this was a mobile home in the true sense that you could pull it around and park it.
Right.
But we had, for instance, it would fold up to be whatever width was, 16 feet or whatever the width was.
Mm-hmm.
And then we could pull out the bedrooms each end, so we got a big room.
Okay.
But the pull out was the bunks for the kids,
mm-hmm.
See? and we could collapse the whole thing into a trailer you could pull.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bit way out, but it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. Then we designed a building for Hollywood, an oval building that had curve on each side. They finally built one like this.
What was that, the house?
I don't know, any office building.
Office building, okay.
But the thing was, people would say, well, you know,
standard.
If you have a lot, say, that's 60 feet by 60, you're not going to build a building that has round corners because you're going to do a lot of office space, but they did it anyhow. Then we built the Botel idea we came up with, making a bunch of, what do they call these?
Houseboats.
Houseboats. And you would rent them out to people for weekend vacations, which then was not a reality, but since has.
I notice your copy there. Read some of that copy. That's very imaginative.
With the highway crowded and good mountain cabin lots hard to find, weekend Americans are turning to the houseboat for family pleasure.
Right.
Well, we assumed that they were.
Yeah, we were hoping you would lead them.
Yeah, we made beautiful drawings of these things.
So you're in the vanguard of houseboats.
Yeah, and then we made showing how you could take aluminum and form a beautiful church. I can't describe that. Then we worked on gas stations.
Mm-hmm.
Then we worked on the geodesic dome. We didn't design it, but we did a lot of the works around the accoutrements and all that.
Was that the Buckminster Fuller idea?
Then we designed all the furniture to go into the new Kaiser building, and I went down east and spent 2 months with this company, casting company, we cast all these legs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all aluminum, this furniture here.
Mm-hmm.
Designed that whole furniture for the Kaiser building, then we designed all the furniture for the hospitals in
Hawaii. The Permanente plant.
Permanente plant.
Mm-hmm.
And then we designed all kinds of office rooms with different kinds of desks for big executives and so on and so forth. So all kinds of shapes.
Still using aluminum for the basic metal.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then we got into rapid transit for Washington. We designed the rapid transit.
Now you mean Washington, D.C.?
Yeah. They were going to put in a rapid transit system.
Did it ever come through?
No.
No.
So it was going to be on, you know, up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And then we worked on designing a service for the airplanes, lightweight throwaway service. We had cups, we had utensils, and we had different kinds of plates stamped out of aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, the microwave oven came in and canceled all of that.
Oh my.
But you could very easily, had we had a plastics division, which we should have had, transferred that into plastics immediately, because we built, and this was a little incidental tray. Then we worked on all kinds of boats, and we built a boat. We had a boat company in Paris, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Subsidiary? Tennessee.
Paris, Tennessee.
Tennessee. It was a boat company, I can't remember the name, run by two men who loved boats and had a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And we designed and built a 16-foot boat with a Ford inboard-outboard engine in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And we worked, I went there and spent 4 months. We worked on it, brought it back and ran it in Lake Mead, I think it's this lake. And we showed how you could make a beautiful hull out of aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
And we did an awful lot of work.
Marine work had been Kaiser's first love, had it not? Certainly one of the early ones.
Yeah. Oh, we designed some of the catamaran. We had designed a catamaran that was out of this world.
Mm.
Then I used to give lectures around.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was a happy sojourn for you.
It was. I enjoyed every minute. I loved it.
As your chief assistant?
Yes.
And the company?
No better. You couldn't find a better one anywhere. Uh-huh. I had an awfully good crew. A Japanese, a Chinese boy, and then another, Walter something, who was awfully good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but he was also a fine artist. Well.
Were you making money? The company making money during those days?
Yes.
Your work, your pioneer missionary work with aluminum was paying off?
But you couldn't put finger on it. You couldn't put it on a tally sheet.
Ah. Mm-hmm. So you were thought
because
to be...
Because the people that say, well, you sold them aluminum anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
But I see that my job is to go out and convince. See, these are usually one-man operations.
Mm-hmm.
And you take a one-man that's been successful, it's awfully hard for him to after a while, when he needs help, to realize that he needs it, because mm-hmm. he feels that he did it in the first place, so by God, nobody can tell him what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the hardest guys to the hardest people to convince that they need help.
Sure.
But I did a pretty good job on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a good job by listening to their problems and seeing their problem, and then go back and redesign it and then bring it out to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would suggest that they hire an industrial designer, part-time or full-time, to help them with their problems and to suggest new things and so on, because they have their tip of their fingers on the pulse of the country, what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to give an awful lot of industrial designers, get them work with these companies.
Mm-hmm.
Especially one of them was this company that built kitchen utensils down in the east somewhere. Oh, you see them all the time. They built a little these little ovens and so on.
Hobart?
No, bigger one than that. We went down and worked with them quite a while. They were nice people. They were Jewish, but they were really nice people. And they're still going strong.
Trade name?
Yeah. You know it if
kitchen
I said
products?
It. Yes. They make pots and pans, and they make electric broilers and electric, all the little stuff.
Not Revere?
Nope. No, I don't even hear about Revere, but I hear about this other one all the time. Anyhow, that's what we did. Then I was sent to Jamaica for 2 months to help them redesign their offices there.
The Kaiser offices?
Then, before I left Kaiser, they wanted to build new offices in Ghana, which they were building. And they gave me a fabulous amount of money to design all of the furniture and to decorate all the offices. I had a ball. I went to San Francisco and I worked with some designers over there and suppliers. We had special rugs made. We had special surfboard table made for the directors and everything was. We had chose beautiful fabric. It really was gorgeous. We had spent a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course, once it was over there, you know, they had trouble in Ghana. So I don't know whatever happened to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a budget of a couple of $100,000 to do this.
Right.
And I had a ball. But there was a decorator who began he was a big decorator. And he didn't like me, and he felt I was rattling his pie cutter, because he knew Kaiser and he knew the people over there, and he felt he should have gotten the job to do the decorating, not me, because I wasn't the decorator, so to speak. But I was smart enough to go to the decorators, and a lot of these companies had decorators on their staff. As you can see, the kind of a job we did.
Yeah, beautiful.
And so he finally went and raised hell with Kaiser and a couple of the people over there, especially my boss. But at that time, the management consultants had already gotten inroads on. So they canceled the department and fired everybody but one who stayed there and just did odds and ends for the different companies. I stayed. They needed this and they needed that, and all they needed was one person to do that, which he did.
What year was this?
'63. So then I was left high and dry, and I didn't know what to do. I had heard about a man through a very good friend of mine who had a new product, and he needed a designer, and he needed somebody, a partner. Well, what he needed was a patsy, and I didn't know it.
Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't tell you. It had nothing to do with it. I lost $25,000 on that deal, so
mm-hmm. Yeah.
No use going into that. Then, well, I could say that I then was floundering around for a job. I'd bought a house in Manhattan Beach, and I was floundering. Is this thing still on?
Oh, yes.
Floundering around, And a lady designer, industrial designer, who designed the Bank of America insignia, was a very great gal. I think she came from Art Center School.
What was her name?
Oh, God. Mary, oh boy. Anyhow, we were pretty good friends, and she told me, well, there's a Wright Autotronics company needs a designer.
Who's that?
Wright Autotronics. Wright.
Right,
W-R-I-G-H-T. Right.
Auto.
R-I-T-E. They make games.